Hello, welcome back to another episode of American Loser. It is the podcast that puts the spotlight firmly on second place. No intro music this week. We're not at a shared universe studio in Eatontown, New Jersey. I'm hanging out in luxurious Manhattan with one of the most handsome men I've ever met, one of the funniest comics in New York City. My pal Pat Dixon's on the show.
I haven't even done my makeup or anything. I mean, thank you.
Nah, dude, we're here. You open up the studios for us over here. We're on Fashion Avenue at Compound Media.
Is this Fashion Avenue?
I think so, right?
How about that?
You're the first person I've heard speak English since I got here.
Midtown. Phil foreigners. How do they make it to Midtown? They should be out on the border someplace, right?
Impressive, right?
What if towns were the same way as countries, you know, like on the border of the town? But no, once they're in, they're in.
No, Parkin was a bitch getting over here, man, but I've been stoked to have you on the show.
Yeah.
So really happy to have you here, dude. Thank you for
I've been looking forward to it. Thank you.
That's cool. We picked out a topic months ago with you in mind that I've had to turn other people away because I was anxious to hear your take on a couple of these things.
I just feel like such a, you know, like a taker, you know, here.
Not the case, but we're going to be working together too soon, actually. I'm excited about
it. I can't wait.
I get to spend Valentine's Day with Pat Dixon.
No, the day after. We're together.
It's a weekend when we're together,
baby. 15th and 16th, yeah. It's up in Fishkill, so just look for the only comedy show in Fishkill. Not that this will be out in time for you, the 12 of you to hear.
This will be out on Tuesday.
It will?
Yes, sir.
Fishkill.
Now we're talking, dude.
Do you know the place?
I don't. I know that on the flyer, they used the Navy insignia to promote that I was in the military, but they wrote retired, so it looks like I did 20 years in the military instead of six, and I got the hell out.
They're expecting you. I'm like, man, you look good.
Yeah. It'll be the first time I've ever come in under the category of good.
I'm looking forward to February 14th myself.
And now we're talking. You got plans with the wife?
Yeah, we're going to celebrate Parkland School Shooting Day. Just a traditional kind of thing.
This is why I love Pat, man. It's no holds barred. It's old school shit, man. I do love this guy. I'm excited because we're going to talk about something that has also launched into media attention here. We're going to talk about something when the government... People always try to put this innocence on the government, right? And they say, they can never do anything wrong. Or the CIA, those are the good guys. Yeah. That's the other one, too. And it reaches across both political aisles. But... this one involves John F. Kennedy, the CIA, the Cuban National Liberation Front, Fidel Castro, Che Guevara, and a fellow by the name of Batista.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about the Bay of Pigs today, man.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about Godfather 2.
Godfather 2 is interesting because the idea of early Cuba, people are kind of blown away by that. That in 1950s Cuba, they had this weird, cool thing going on.
For like 6 years.
Yeah. It was, you had Atlantic City meets Vegas meets Miami, and then some like weird Brazil kind of a thing going on.
Yeah.
They joined all of them together.
Just a few hundred miles away? How far is it from the coast?
I believe somebody told me it's like 90 miles away.
The government cooperates with big business. Michael, we're bigger than U.S. Steel.
Oddly enough, too, was, you know who had major interest? Not you. I mean, U.S. Steel definitely had interest over in Cuba, but... what I found out at the time is that we were completely profiting off of Cuba. So there was like this cool resort part of Cuba, and then there was very, very poor parts of Cuba.
Yeah.
But almost all of the oil companies over in Cuba, Rockefeller owned.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it was Esso Standard Oil, which was Exxon.
Yeah.
And they also had Shell in there as well, which isn't that hilarious that they're that blatant about it that it's when they broke up Rockefeller's empire. They're like, oh, what are you going to call your Shell Corporation? Shell. What we're going to call it.
It was probably like that thing, like they forgot to name it until it was too late. So that just got submitted. It was just like in parentheses, you know, Shell.
Yeah, like if someone's job title is Patsy because they forgot to come up with something good.
Right. Yeah. Like REM's album, which was, I think it was just, what the fuck? Eponymous.
Yeah. The self-titled.
Yeah. But it was literally called Eponymous.
Oh, God.
With an E. Like that. Dumb fucks. They never named it. So, yeah, Rockefeller lost that shit. That was it, right? I mean, was he able to recover any of that stuff later on?
No, he was a genius because what they did is that he was just the last man standing in terms of, because they broke everything. Carnegie left, because if you talk about like the big three in...
out of Cuba?
Yeah, if you talk about the big three in American business. You have J.P. Morgan, who was a genius. I'll explain why in a second. But
Morgan Stanley.
Yeah, and then Rockefeller was a genius, obviously. But Rockefeller was blatant because he
Charlie McCarthy, I think.
Oh, well, Andrew Carnegie had an interesting one. But Carnegie.
I'm sorry. You're doing a show, and I'm being a dick.
Nah, bro. This is two buddies spitballing.
Andrew Carnegie.
Yeah, Carnegie goes ahead, and he gets out of the business. So he sells majority of what he owns over to J.P. Morgan, makes him a richer man than Rockefeller. So he's all happy now because he beat Rockefeller. Yeah. And then Rockefeller and him have this competition to see who can give away more of their money, right? So you have those three guys that are very interesting. You know who hedged his bets so that when Rockefeller like tried standing up to the U.S. government and saying, you can't break me down and why are you breaking my balls here?
Wow.
The thing that made me laugh was J.P. Morgan never got in trouble because he used to loan the government money.
Smart.
Oh, dude, he was his own insurance agent. It was pretty great.
Wow. Those old-timey money guys, they had it figured out a little bit better than anybody, even better than the government, apparently.
Oh, that's the whole thing. That's why. And this story is really interesting, too, because it takes private interest and stuff like that. Then you have the government getting involved to try to preserve private interests, and then you realize we... Like, when a plan comes together, okay, everybody's seen Saving Private Ryan.
The A-Team.
Yeah. especially for D-Day, though, that's the world's largest land invasion. 156,000 men got involved with that one. I'm talking about just guys landing on five separate beaches.
How many did you say?
156,000.
It's unbelievable. The coordination that must have required.
Yeah, and there's still a bunch of shit that went wrong, you know what I mean? Like, people got blown off course with the paratroopers and stuff like that. The invasion got canceled by a day because of the storms and stuff. But everything wound up going right with D-Day. Everything went wrong with Bay of Pigs.
Right. Starting with their fighting force. I don't want to jump ahead or anything.
No, whatever you got, brother.
Yeah, it was that the idea they had all these like Cuban exiles that they're like, okay, well, we'll use you to fight. And we didn't lose a lot of military guys in that, did we? I mean, it seems like there was like a few, but they were there mostly to direct.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird term because there's a thing known as a war by proxy.
Uh-huh.
So what that would be is that two superpowers are going to get involved in a smaller country.
Sure. Right, so opposite sides. Yeah, like in Vietnam or in Korea.
Very much so. Yeah. So in this one for Cuba, Cuba was being backed by the Soviets, right? That they were starting to get funding, and we're actually going to uncover like the whole weird history with that too. But it was very interesting too because now America. We have this awesome geographical advantage. Like, we're kind of a European-founded nation, right?
But
debatable at times.
Well, I mean, you know, we're all immigrants.
It's
until we start talking about white men, then we don't get to be immigrants anymore.
It's actually, interestingly enough, our podcast is trending in the Russian Federation. So that being said, is as equally as concerning as it is an opportunity to buy in at the ground level, guys. All right?
That's collusion as shit.
But so here's what's interesting, man. On 17 April 1961, 1,500 men land to invade Cuba. They are aided by the full power of the American Central Intelligence Agency. You know, those heroes.
Mm-hmm. And the full power of them?
I mean, it is unbridled. Now, what's funny is we deny our involvement for the longest time with this.
Yeah.
And then in 2011, about 1,200 pages came out due to the Freedom of Information Act.
We denied involvement until 2011?
Full involvement, yes.
Wow.
So, and it
yeah, the whole fucking thing faces. Was the whole fucking thing was our idea. I mean, it's us. We did it. We tried to overthrow Cuba. Invade it.
And they're right there by us. That's the other thing. We have actual territories that are farther away geographically than Florida is to
from here?
From Cuba. Yeah. So,
like, New York?
It's insanity, man.
Yeah, I know. It is like so close. It really should be ours. And we should still take it. And I think we could easily get it. I think we might be able to overpower them militarily.
You would be shocked at how close we were to having it, too. That even one of our greatest fuck-ups almost worked.
Yeah, because the first push, when they came in, they mm-hmm. actually were successful at first. And then shit kind of spun off the rails. I don't want to jump ahead, but like,
because
if I bust through all the facts I know about it, it'll just be 10 or 15 seconds.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to, just for the listeners here, we're going to unpack this one because numbers are good. We jumped over 7,000 total listens the other day, which means nothing to the man who has the New York City crime report. But for a dumb kid from Jersey starting this thing in his basement with his dad, I'm pretty happy right now.
I got 7,000 listens in the time it took you to say that.
Oh, it hurts. Oh, it hurts. But if you haven't checked it out, Pat Dixon is one of my favorite podcasts, the New York City Crime Report. Please check him out, man.
Thanks, and you'll be on the very next episode.
I'm looking forward to it, buddy. Yeah. Now, interesting here, we have you're in post-World War II America at the time that this whole story is taking place. And we're a little bit nervous because Russia's got this thing going on called communism. All right. Yeah. Now, Russia's in full revolt, and what always winds up happening is that they have this dream of this utopia that they're going to be able to create, but a lot of people have to die to get that utopia.
Mm. So I see, because you really just can't afford to have them all around, right?
Right. It's a...
Oof. So you need some bread? You'll be... Okay, you're hungry? We'll kill you. I mean, how do they even decide? I was wondering.
I think it's a who you know kind of it. So there's nepotism within the utopia.
So. Hey, I'm hoping to live. It's who you know, you know. That's all you know. Wow. But, why not just keep the aristocracy? Why did they get rid of the Romanovs if they're going to just be this kind of fucking crazy?
Oh, the Tsar thing was fascinating, too. But they fell, and you watched an old school, like almost Disney-style kingdom. You know what I mean? Because if you look at like the Winter Palace and stuff like that, that is what a lot of the old like Disney stuff and cartoons and the idea of magic and all that other shit, it all comes from that idea. And they watch that kingdom completely fall.
Mm-hmm.
So communism scares the shit out of a lot of people.
It's scary, you know. In fact, right through the 50s, we had a big problem with it ourselves.
We did, around this time frame.
Yeah, McCarthy was doing his best. And, you know, it's funny. When I was in college, I used to think that Edward R. Murrow was such a big hero, you know. Now it's like, oh, wait, he was a communist journalist. No, I don't like him, you know. He was a pinko.
They always say, too, that there was a great quote from Kennedy about McCarthy when they were asking him to admonish McCarthy. And just to give you a sentiment, because obviously the Kennedys coming from the Boston, Massachusetts area.
All right.
Typically a pretty blue area, if you want to talk about Democrats and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. He ran as a Democrat.
Yeah, he had a quote that he was talking about. When they asked him about why he doesn't come down harder on McCarthy, he goes, hell, where I'm from, McCarthy's still a hero.
Huh.
So it was the idea, because there was a lot of people behind McCarthy. The communism terrified people.
Yeah, and there were apparently communists in the State Department and stuff like that. Probably some of the
first ones.
I mean, like, we definitely have a whole government filled with them now. We do, no question. All these bureaucrats that they've appointed over the years. You know, Eric Holder, you know, they're not supposed to make these appointments. You know, according to political party and stuff, there just doesn't happen to be any that are Republicans. Very, very few, if any.
It goes back to that nepotism thing, too, because we're in New York City right now where I can't help but laugh when I drive around, especially like the Upper West Side, because that is all literally built by Tammany Hall, one of the most corrupt political machines of all time.
Well done, guys.
Yeah, so when you sit there and you get these pictures taken with, there's like models trying to do like photo shoots out there, and you're like, this is all built by political corruption. You're literally standing on the problem.
That's probably like the best aspect of the whole city. I mean, the rest of it's probably built by, I don't know, the devil or something. You know, whatever's worse than political corruption, it's a horrible time that we live in a way, you know, because it's insurmountable, the deep state, you know. I mean, like, I don't mean to be all like, I know I can talk to you, though. Yeah, I mean, there's no way to fire them. You can't fire these federal employees if they are, unions and shit. And they're just pencil pushers, you know, making laws, making policies all the time, whatever. You know, I'm about to start talking about Trump, so I'm just going to stop.
We try to keep it as just a historical podcast.
Right, of course, yeah. But, I mean, at that time, that's when... You know, Kennedy was the one who allowed them to unionize the federal employees. So he kind of blew
weird
it.
Also stuff, too, because now at the time of the story here, where we're in 1961, you're in that's post-World War II America. So everybody's really nervous about what's going on over in Cuba because we're paying close attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
The head of the CIA at the time is by a fellow by the name of Dulles, okay? Dulles, not from the airport, I found out. I had to... Different Dulles. But... he was considered an ineffectual director in the CIA, but his employees loved him because he stood up to McCarthyism. So that was a whole weird thing where the CIA was partially also against McCarthy. There was a lot of things at play with McCarthy. He's going to definitely be a loser for another episode, I think.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, have you no decency at long last, sir?
He's also one of those guys where they always talk up his alcoholism, too. And I was like, yeah, look at his face, man. Have you seen this guy? What he looks like? Of course.
He's a drunk coming in the door. What are you talking about? How do you get elected?
McCarthy's here. It smells like the perfume aisle at Macy's. But they're all nervous over here in post-World War II America because Germany is splintered, Russia is now communist and growing, China's considered red, and the influence of communism is starting to spread over to that little tiny island off the coast of Miami.
The New World Order was not necessarily in our favor, was it?
No, but back then at this time frame, Cuba had really traditionally great relations with America. Not for nothing, we did send Teddy motherfucking Roosevelt over there to free them, to give them their independence from Spain. So that was the Spanish-American War. And a common theme on the show,
We didn't send him. He just went.
Yeah, he was there already. And then
didn't he just go and kind of do it on his own? I thought he just joined a bunch of conquistadors and rode down.
Our great running tag on the show, if you will, is just don't fuck with TR.
Yeah.
Everyone who messes with him loses.
How could you win? I mean, the guy first of all, he's a bulldog. You know what I mean? Like, he's and he's filled with energy. He knows more than you do. He's a military guy. Badass from go.
And the best part, too, is that in other episodes we've uncovered weird stuff that his left eye, I believe, did not work because it was punched out because he used to have boxing lessons taught to him. He would have world champions come to the White House and box with him.
Smart. That's fucking incredible, though.
Yeah.
Can you even imagine having a world champion? This was before there were blacks boxing, though. But, I mean, this is even before Jack Johnson, you know, first yeah, heavyweight champion.
Covered him on some stuff, too, man.
Yeah, he got pardoned. Trump pardoned him.
No shit.
Yeah, he sure did. Pardoned Jack Johnson. So he is in the clear.
I'm going to have to look into that one.
Posthumously.
But TR also broke up all the, he broke up all the trusts and everything like that. But his huge battle was the Battle of San Juan Hill over there. And, which is hilarious, too, because he beat William Jennings Bryan to the war. And then William Jennings Bryan then lost to him in a couple of elections, too. So you get these lifelong enemies coming out of this shit.
Oh, yeah. Whenever you have a lifetime kind of, you know, these rivalries and shit, that's always interesting to hear about.
Oh, because you don't know who's going to win. Oh, we did another episode on that one, man.
Yeah.
Burr versus Hamilton was
what happened? He got shot in a duel, right, Burr?
Yeah, Burr's a tragic figure, too, man, because he definitely did a lot more for this country than we're willing to give him credit for.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds like an asshole. Yeah, you know what I mean? Aaron Burr.
That's the problem, though. You shoot one Broadway singer, and the rest of the world just comes down on you.
Well, crap. He blew it. Now, why did he shoot a Broadway singer?
Well, that was that was Hamilton he shot. I was being cute.
Oh, I'm such a tard.
Nah, but you're handsome.
Well, you know something about Hamilton. It's for gays.
Oh, this one's going to hurt.
Speaking of gays, TR, crossdresser. Not everybody knows that.
Oh, man. Let me see. Let's see. I'm going to try to get us back on track with this one.
Let me guess. It's post-World War II, 1960. We're going to stay post-World War II the whole day.
So Castro is not in power yet. This fellow by the name of Batista, who is pretty much put in there, he suspends elections. He's put in as a puppet leader by the U.S. So he's a U.S.-backed, quote, I guess, premier, they would kind of call him, first thing. But it's interesting because he decides that he's going to go ahead and suspend elections. And
suspend elections.
Yeah, so, you know, the most democratic elections. Way to do.
Yeah. So. And Prio, was that his name? Prio was the one that he ousted, who was exiled to Miami?
They ousted him. He shows up in Miami, which is hilarious because Cuban's in Miami. I mean, does anything go better together? That's right. It's the greatest thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it's kind of interesting because they oust him, and now this fellow by the name of Batista is in charge, and Batista starts getting people rebelling against him.
Because, just suspending elections.
Oh, yeah. You got a couple of really nice parts of Cuba where all the people want to come and go on vacation and shit like that, and which, by the way, I find this hilarious. Canadians have always been able to still go to Cuba on vacation.
Really?
It's just a U.S. Thing that the actual citizens of the United States of America can't go there. If you have a Canadian passport, you could still go to Cuba on vacation.
You know, that makes sense, because if they don't have Florida.
Oh, it's true.
You know, I mean, we're real close. There would just be too much traffic back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we can't tell you guys apart, really.
It's because they never really had a problem with them the way they do. All of this stems from, with this story, is where we fuck up a lot with maybe overplaying our hand at interventionism. So that's kind of the root of the story on this one.
Interventionism, and we are intervening in Cuba.
Right.
Just try to get it to, like, not have so much to do with the Soviet Union.
What's weird is that it's, you know, that there's always that great line from Breaking Bad where they talk about no more half measures. And it's a, you take a little half measure here to try to be like, oh, well, we're going to push this in this direction and hopefully it works out our way. And it routinely blows up in our face in this story.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Probably, yeah. And that's a good rule of life, too.
Yeah.
If you think about half measures, if you bet half of what you were going to on a hand, it's no good.
Also true. Now, we back Batista, and Batista's a great thing, and he's reliably anti-communist. That's the one thing that always comes over. So that's what you want, because if communism's growing on, you know, the far side of the world in China and Russia, that's okay. We still have other people that are going to have to handle that if there's a land invasion or something like that in Europe. But now you got this little tiny island right off the coast of Miami, and it's starting to be a trouble.
What business do they have talking to the Soviet Union even? You know what I mean? Get the fuck away from our enemy. You're right next to us. I can't, it's so silly that we invaded them using those dickwads, lost the air support, go in with half a fleet, half a fucking fighting force, and it's fuck the whole thing up. They all, like, I mean, they're too close to us. Cuba's too close to sit there and be communist. Are they? Wow, that was weird.
Don't worry about it.
I'll cut it out. Are they still? You know, they're communist, I guess, right?
Well, this is it's kind of a point of debate too, because if you go down, there's this very funny thing where Cubans are insanely patriotic. They're one of the greatest immigrant groups we've ever had. They love America.
Mm.
They are huge on it, and it's
so that would mean, yeah, still is communist, I guess.
Well, it's weird because when Obama decided to ease the sanctions on Cuba, what wound up happening was a lot of people criticized the move because they said that it's not necessarily a good thing. You're not opening up Cuba to the rest of the world. You're just ending a U.S. embargo, and you're also supporting the continued regime because these are some bad people that are in charge right now.
Oh, I see.
So we install Batista. Batista gets overthrown by the People's Rebellion. By the way, did you know Fidel Castro was a lawyer?
That's funny. Well, I thought he was a soldier or something.
Yeah, everyone in history that does anything is a lawyer. They all start that. All the founding fathers start off that way. Almost every president.
Tons of them. It would have been so easy to be a lawyer in early America, though. It's like, get here and there's like, fuck, there's really no laws yet. I'll just make it up.
If you
could
read and write, you were pretty much pre-law. That's essentially what it was.
You could just feel like, well, the law says. Really? Yeah.
And it's good that way too, man. But it's troublesome that you know, all this shit's going on over here. We install Batista. Batista gets overthrown by Castro. Okay, and a little fellow comes along with Castro too, by the name of
overthrown by Castro, just like that.
They overthrown it. It's an armed rebellion. I actually wrote down the name of the war over here. But Castro, he represents
the July 26th war or something like that. The July 26th revolution.
Very close. They had a special name for their whole revolution that they called themselves. It was interesting because Castro represents this whole change to the current regime that they're having here. He's going to try to restore the power to the people, right? Uh-huh. That's the great lie that they always start off with to create this utopia is,
hey, you grow sugar, yeah. You get sugar.
Chicle? But yeah, you don't have something, and I think you should have it, guys, and I'm going to take it from the people that have it and give it to you. And that's a great way to create. It's almost all the cults work out that way, too, I've noticed, like Jonestown, all that other stuff.
Oh, I think they're like leader. The fucking Baltimore Colts.
That's a poor Andrew Luck. He'll get it together.
Yeah.
But yeah, Batista, like we said, after he suspended the elections, completely loses all popularity. And now the country almost is uniformly behind Castro in this revolution.
Well, yeah, because of the elections thing and because he's anti-communist and because, I mean, like, there's probably a ton of reasons, huh? Batista, what a fucking asshole.
It could have been so sweet. It's like Casino, you know what I mean? Where just all you had to do is just not fuck up. You could have had Ace Rothstein there the entire time.
Mm.
But they fuck up. This group that he was talking about, by the way, you were very close. It's the 26th of July movement. That's
isn't that what I said?
Hey, you might have. I didn't remember the date. Here's my weird thing. I have a retarded, excellent memory. My memory is fantastic for ideas, concepts, and names. You put a number in there, I can't remember shit.
Yeah.
So
totally. I'm the same way. I can remember anything, but if you put parentheses around it, I immediately forget.
Isn't it weird? It's almost like a disregard.
Yeah. That is tough.
But on the 31st of December, so, you know, New Year's Eve, you want to talk about a rockin' New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Batista, with his shredded popularity and in full retreat after losing a battle against Che Guevara, decides that it's time to flee. I'm getting the fuck out of Dodge.
Salud! Salud! I'm leaving, man.
Well, he takes a nice parting gift with him. So, yes, you
sacrificed Patrick Geary was the first one out. Mr. Corleone.
It's but it's interesting because they, as he leaves, he takes a nice little parting gift with him, Pat. Sure, you lost Cuba. Sure, you lost the war. But now you're going to go to the Dominican Republic, where the guy who's running that country is a good friend of yours, actually. So political asylum's a guarantee. Mm. And you just happen to show up with $300 million.
Wow.
So Batista fleeces Cuba and bails. It's not a great Cuban betrayal. Yeah.
That's nicely done.
It's kind of heartbreaking, too, for those people, man, because Cuba
gets... Fuck them! They overthrew him!
They do overthrow him, and he takes the piggy bank with him.
And then, so that's why Castro's like, well, now I guess we'll just have to nationalize all this oil and sugar and banks. That
literally is exactly what happens. Yeah. Batista had been, you know, as you got your ass kicked by Che Guevara or whatever, you move on here. And the battle was known as the Battle of Santa Clara. That's like a big thing they still celebrate over in Cuba. But it's still met with a mixed response because so many people in Cuba are actually pro-America and, in turn, more so the overthrowing of Castro. Nobody fucking likes this guy. It's that classic thing of he promises once he gets power, he's going to do something for you. And then as soon as he gets it, you realize, oh, my God, we really were better with the devil we knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Castro's all living high on the hog.
That's
sucking liquefied steak through a straw.
Pretty much, man. And now Batista's gone in another country. He doesn't care anymore, all right? He has nothing to worry about.
$300 million?
He winds up in the Dominican Republic.
Back in the 50s, then, that was like $340 million.
Yeah, essentially, he is Spanish Rockefeller now.
Yeah, so, Spanish Rockefeller. Rockefeller.
He winds up actually in Spain, too, so that's not just me making a comment about his ethnicity.
Oh, yeah. You know, in Spain, they don't pronounce S all the time. Sometimes it's like that.
Oh, so he's Spanish?
Yes, España. I'm from España, and they talk that way.
We really let them off the hook, by the way.
Spain.
I was talking to somebody about this the other day. If you want to talk about imperialism and the evils of what that little tiny island England did, where they were able to control majority of the world, look at
just by being white. That was their chief skill, right? Just like, we are white. Like, okay, you're in charge.
Also, look at now with
that
Spain.
Privilege shit. There must be something to that. Seriously. I mean, like, why else? But the Spain, you say, no.
Spain's fascinating España. Because think about how much of the world speaks Spanish. That's not because the Aztecs and the Incas had an appreciation for foreign culture. That's because Hernan Cortez came over there and testosterone his way all through Mesoamerica.
Yeah. So. And that's why Mexico is Mexico and not just some Indian shit.
Yep. Well, because shouldn't be speaking Spanish. All of South America, too. We really do let Spain off the hook on a lot of stuff.
You know,
because they were an empire in decline.
Yeah. And, yeah. I mean, like, fucking Columbus sailed for Spain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this place was discovered for Spain, if you believe. And then, like, Columbus gets here with his Spanish guys, like, looking for gold. All these Indians. Columbus is like, there's like, oh, he's an Italian, white guy or something. Spain. The Spanish fucking soldiers cutting arms off Native Americans. Hands, you know, if they don't, you didn't get enough gold, you didn't get your quota, cut their hands off.
The other crazy part, too, was that... the only way that Columbus was able to have success, same thing with Cortez, more so with Cortez, is that they were able to overthrow Montezuma because other tribes hated Montezuma. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't this peaceful pastoral landscape that the evil foreigners came and disrupted. It was, same thing that happened with Castro.
But then Montezuma got revenge, right? They all had diarrhea. And yeah, then, the thing about the Indians and the Native Americans and the Spanish is that, like, the Spanish were very similar to the Indians in a lot of ways, you know. Mm-hmm. And when they would, get an Indian, they would use every part of it, you know.
Oh, God damn it. That's well, that was beautiful.
Just like they did with the buffalo, you know, the Indians.
Now, the weird thing is it almost winds up the same way with those tribes that used Cortez to overthrow Montezuma. It's the same thing that happened with Castro now. We're going to use Castro to overthrow Batista because Batista's a puppet for the U.S. And he's suspending elections. He's a one-party system guy. Well, what does Castro do in order to differentiate himself? Immediately becomes a one-party system guy and decides, oh, those suspended elections, I'm not bringing them back. We're going to have what's known as a direct democracy, Pat. Are you familiar with this concept?
It sounds like it works to the advantage of the party that's ruling.
Oh, it's hilarious. He decided that this direct democracy he was going to put forth was a democracy that all the people would have to do is protest him in mass, and then he would step down from power. Funny thing about Castro now, all you people have to do is get together, and I have all the guns still, but all you guys have to do is all get together, all my enemies in one place at one time, and let me know that you're not happy with the job I'm doing, and then I'm going to step down and just let you guys take over.
I don't know, sounds like a good deal. Jesus, did this actually, did anything, did that occur?
No, it's almost
where
like...
Where they're just like, oh, we get it, okay, yeah, fine.
Almost like Maoist China, where you got the people that can't, if you stop clapping too soon when the great leader is speaking, oh, you seem a little unenthusiastic about the speech here. Let's take him out back and figure out...
Peep bong.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody's too afraid to wind up standing up to the guy. And he has all the resources now because, like you said, this is actually where this came from, too. It kind of messed with my head a little bit when I read all about this. But Castro takes on the role of prime minister. That's his exact title here. And immediately goes to that direct democracy, like we said, where he has all the guns. Who really cares? Begins to start punishing anybody who's still loyal to Batista, any members of the resistance and stuff like that.
Well, they're trouble.
Yeah, brings in torture. All right, the same stuff that everybody was against Batista for. Now, he does make one little tiny caveat. He's not going to go ahead and execute people. They're not going to physically torture him. They're just going to throw you in solitary confinement, use starvation as a weapon. I mean, it's the finer things. You know, the kinder, gentler machine gun hand, as Neil Young would say.
Hey, it's still progress. It's
progress moves slow, baby.
They're very progressive.
So the next move that he makes, and you want to talk about, so he's going to go ahead and start rounding up the families of the belligerents, anybody who's against him that opposes
him. The belligerents. Mm-hmm. So that's the best name I've heard since the deplorables.
I belligerents is a good name, too.
I'd rather have belligerents.
Pat Dixon, belligerents. Yeah. That's a great album name, all right? You're due for one, too.
I love that movie, Belligerents.
With Charlton Heston. But no, it's...
Ned Beatty, actually.
Well, I said Charlton Heston. I mean, I don't know why I do this.
Burt Reynolds.
But Burt Reynolds and Charlton Heston could be... Imagine Burt Reynolds as Ben-Hur.
He's got the Smokies on his tail.
Yeah, he's
in the chariot.
He's literally he's spitting out during the chariot. He's got a dip in the whole time.
That's not a bad idea.
How you doing? How you doing?
I have a theory about John Travolta. Speaking of actors, that he actually believes that he is in whatever situation he's in a movie, and that's where his acting chops come from. Because if you look at him, he really looks as if he believes that he is, you know, in a dance contest, or that he's riding a mechanical bull, or dancing in a disco. You know, I think that he is some kind of weird, super autistic retard or something. You know?
It's called Scientology.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh man, what am I doing in here?
Oh my God, Lord Zeno, what are you doing? But now they're fascinating guys here. The first thing that he does, because you want to talk about progress, like you said, Pat Dixon.
Yeah.
The next move that he makes is the papers are being critical of Castro. They're saying, hey, this guy promises all this good shit, and we're not getting any of it.
Well, so, finally a paper that's not to the left.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, in order to have a paper back then, you had to have a print press, right? And the printers' union in Cuba was visited by Fidel Castro, who then put a caveat, a little clause in there, if you will, that said, oh, by the way, I get to kind of give like a final review on any articles criticizing the government. So he has now silenced the people. The free speech is gone. Okay. And now you're silencing the press. And you're doing all this because you've taken all the weapons away from anybody who might be usurpacious of your power.
So wait a second. Gun control is a bad thing.
It's when you start stripping away. Literally, he's just going down the list of the amendments and just stripping them away one by one. That's what it is. He's going a little out of order here. But
did they? They didn't have the amendments, right?
No, they haven't. That's why it's so important that we have this shit here in this country, man.
People think like, oh, we just need to get rid of them.
Nope.
What the fuck are you talking about? That's what the country came with. That, you know, that's original. Isn't it?
It really is original, and it protects. There's so many things that they had almost a foresight to that they're able to stand up to, that so many people make the mistake of just not having that foundation, if you will.
At some point, somebody's going to try and do this. They thought all the angles out. They're going to try to let blacks vote.
Goddamn.
Well, they'll have to make an amendment.
I had a good one the other day. A friend of mine, Chris Buck, very, very funny comic down in Jacksonville, Florida. He posted, he goes, He goes, why is it that all the people that are always talking about the founding fathers never want to talk about John Adams, the one who didn't own slaves? Hmm. You know, and so I just wrote back to him. I said, William Patterson didn't own slaves. And he, you know, I said, for all this and more things you're wrong about, please listen to American Loser on SoundCloud.
Who's Patterson?
William Patterson, interesting guy. He was one of the founding fathers. He's really interesting because he was born in Ireland, okay? And then he was a lawyer over here in America, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, one of the founding fathers. And in my hometown of Wayne, New Jersey, we actually have, so the town next door is Paterson, New Jersey, named after him.
Oh my God, what a great town he got to. No, he was not one of the more prestigious founding fathers, I'm guessing.
No, Paterson used to be the pride of New Jersey.
Really?
And then now there's a little Baghdad section to it, which is cool. Because you can go down there and you can get good Syrian food. That is one thing I got to get Paterson. And then
good Syrian food. Yeah, really good Syrian food. If I'm going to have Syrian food, I want it to be fucking.
Well, if we want bad Syrian food, we can go walk two blocks down after this and go find a falafel.
I can just eat what's stuck to the bottom of my shoe.
Oh, damn. Now, Castro, he's a temperamental guy here, as we're talking about a little bit. He goes, he does not get along really well with the United States of America. What he asks the refineries to do, those Esso Standard Oil refineries, because keep in mind, majority of the interests in America, in Cuba this time, are American-owned, like you were saying. Now, this is the start of that nationalization you referred to earlier.
Right.
So
They didn't do this all at once.
No, his first move was, I want the Cuban refineries, these Cuban-located, American-owned refineries for oil, to start processing oil that I'm acquiring from the USSR. Okay, so the Soviet Union is providing Castro with this oil here, and he wants them to refine it using the American factories. America says, hell no, we're not touching that shit. You know, back off on that, all right? Come on, really, you got plenty. Things are good right now. We don't need to fuck with something that's working. And so they declined to go ahead and do that. Castro's retaliation move is just like you said. He nationalized the refineries.
Oh, wow.
You are now, by the way, the government owns this now.
We'll just do it this way.
Yep.
What do you expect from some guy who looks like he should be drinking a pale ale in a Brooklyn Castro pub?
Well, it's very much diplomacy by gunpoint. So that's what he's doing over here.
But you know what? At the end of the day, that's what all of this shit is.
Very much so.
If you sit at a red light, a green light long enough, eventually someone will come and point a gun at you and take you to jail. Right? I mean, like anything.
Almost
tax evasion.
On my way here, actually. But Castro ordered the Cuba's oil refineries were now under control of the United States government. So that kind of pissed off John D. Rockefeller a little bit to find out that his overseas interests are now a part of a foreign government he's not a part of.
Yeah, I'm sure he wasn't happy about that at all.
No, and he was known to be a very patient and kind man.
He should have got a hold of the Spanish Rockefeller, see if he could help him out.
Batista. So in response now, the U.S. decides that we're going to cancel our import of Cuban sugar. That was the big one of the big imports coming out of there. So we said, we'll go get sugar somewhere else.
Tariffs.
So, yep, getting some tariffs on there. And I don't know if you noticed this too, but a lot of our sugar comes from Panama now. So screw you guys, we're going somewhere else. So it's the free market, in essence.
You just call the neighbor up. You move from one booth to another, another shitty Central American place or whatever. But, yeah. Fucking Cuba is too close. How many people live there?
Cuba at the time, I don't have the population, but it was not what it was. And then under Castro, you also see those numbers going down.
Oof.
Strategically.
Jesus, you got to really try to do that.
It was, Cuba's got this cool culture and everything like that, and they're very pro. Now, when you go over there, because I went to Brookdale Community College, and...
In Cuba.
Yeah, might as well have. They did a Cuba trip that I was so anxious to try to go on, because, Hemingway used to hang out over there. Cuba was Miami.
It seems very, very cool. Oh. I mean, and especially since... they have all those old cars down there, those classic cars are still driving.
Completely, because there's no winter down there for the most part, so they don't have to deal with any of the stuff eating away at the rust on the old school cars.
But they're
pro-America.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
We're exotic to them.
It's strange, though. Like, they haven't bought any cars.
We don't allow them to.
Right.
We're not allowed to have American vehicles in there.
That nuts.
And we make the best fucking cars still.
Do we?
It's debatable.
Of course.
Japanese got some cool stuff.
I didn't mean to back you down that easy. I mean, I had no counterpoint. I don't, who else makes cars?
No, well, they're all over the place with that, which
oh,
is
Germany.
Cool.
Yeah, so.
I just like the idea that we're exotic to Cuba the same way that Cuba's exotic to us, where it's like a lot of people have their Havana Nights fantasy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then in Cuba, they're like, oh, my God, take me to Amish country in Pennsylvania.
Are you kidding me with all that grass and fucking all those old fuckers?
Take quilts, me in your wagon.
Building a barn and going to like a, they're like, oh, man, I really want to go to St. Louis.
Can we make sugar cookies?
Sugar cookies. They have almost no flavor. No flavor.
But it's all fucked up over there. They've nationalized almost everything. It's all these assets are now owned by force.
Still post-World War II.
And you know it, baby. The increased tensions with the neighboring United States, who hated Castro and declared his single-party system to be following the pattern of some fellows by the name of the Bolsheviks, Pat. Mm. All right? Not really great people.
No, not at all. Bolsheviks are, those are communist people, right?
They were real jerks, if you go through history.
Fucking jerks.
But now you got restrictions on speech, and the free press is getting the shit kicked out of it. There's government control of the industry, and human rights violations start to take place. You see how this is always that slippery slope that they're always talking about?
Isn't that weird? Why is it that it's so necessary to do these things? Because he's constantly paranoid about losing power.
Yep, and everybody has to be agreeable to what he's working on, because any opposition to him is now a threat to his power, like you said.
Yeah, a threat to your life, therefore.
Also true.
Yeah, I mean, what sort of torture did they do?
Well, it's weird, too, because the U.S. has not actually taken a hardline stance with them yet. So some of the torture that they were doing, there's a lot of fucked up stories. Threats to family members, stuff like that, abductions. There's almost a Gestapo-type secret police that's going on over there.
And who are they after?
Anybody who is going to still support Batista or anybody who is even remotely critical of Castro.
Really?
So it was intolerance, yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. Now, the U.S. decides that they're getting nervous because the USSR is all about Cuba, where they're like, did we tell you how great you are, man? I mean, we love it. Do you guys need anything?
So we're like, he's just trying to fuck you.
Yeah. They want squatters' rights in Cuba so they can fuck with the United States. So it pissed me off pretty good because I'm reading about this, and the U.S. is actually taking a very, very diplomatic approach at first. They said, hey, we'll have non-intervention with Cuba, which, by the way, Cuba was freed to be its own country with the Spanish-American War. We did not take that in the dealings with the war with Spain.
What the fuck is wrong with us?
We did take the Philippines, though. We fucked up.
Philippines.
We wanted the Philippines, where eventually we gave it up because it rains a lot. That's essentially why we couldn't colonize the Philippines.
Right. Weekend in Manila. Jesus.
But, so that was goes on with them, man. Now, the human rights violations are continuing over there, and we offer them. We say, hey, we'll just do non-intervention. Just sever your ties with the USSR. We'll leave you alone. All right, we don't want anything to do with you, but you got to leave, you know, Russia alone. Mm-hmm. And that just wasn't going to happen for them, man. Cuba was a little bit too into it.
Yeah, they like their big daddy, their big bear.
Yeah, also, you know, it's Spanish girls and guys with blonde hair and blue eyes. That's like the forbidden fruit for each other. That's a thing, man. I found
really?
That. Oh, yeah, I have blonde hair, blue eyes. I'm not a conventionally attractive man, but Spanish girls whistle at me.
Wow, so. That's great. That's like reverse jungle fever.
Essentially, yes. In 1960, they offered the Chicago Mafia, okay? We covered Bugs Moran and Al Capone in an earlier episode.
Oh, so yes.
It's the second generation of these guys, if you will. In 1960, the U.S. government, specifically the CIA, contacts the mob.
Bugsy Siegel Jr.
And yeah, pretty much says, dude, we love what you're doing in Vegas. Why don't you take over Cuba, all right? All you have to do, we'll give you the rights to gambling, prostitution, and drug trade in Cuba. You guys do whatever you want over there. Go crazy. Go wild. All we need you to do is kill Fidel Castro.
And this is how they got down there. Like, I'm like, right? Is that right?
Because the mob was already in play down there. Because, like you said, Godfather 2.
Oh, right. I was wondering if that was like, this was the invitation they needed or something.
Well, it's really cool because the mafia never kind of leaves over there. So
they didn't take off. They stayed.
It's the same way that when in World War II, when the Allies, the Allied powers were making amends to Lucky Luciano in order to have him talk to La Cosa Nostra, you know, which doesn't exist, by the way. Just you know, put it out there.
Of course not.
There's no such thing as a mafia.
Are you crazy?
All of our listeners are in Brooklyn and New Jersey.
And so. Mark DeMeo is definitely not in it.
Doesn't he look like, I always say that he looks like, what's his name from The Usual Suspects? Benicio Del Toro.
Yeah, kind of. So yeah.
It's pretty much Mark, man.
Yeah, great, yeah.
So, good dude. All you have to do is have a successful hit on Fidel Castro, and the mafia can essentially run all of the entertainment, if you will. We'll call it that.
Like piece of cake.
Yeah, pretty much. The CIA plans to also kill Castro. Check out some of the fucking wacky-ass methods they tried to use on Castro.
Yeah, I recall hearing about these. They had like a bird that was going to fly over him and then drop beak first into the very top of his head. Shit like that, right?
They had an exploding seashell that was going to be near him on the beach or something that was going to blow him up.
Yes, exploding seashell.
They had a poisonous pen that had a hypodermic needle in it that was going to be used to inject him. Mm.
There was a view that they would try to coax him over to. And then they'd give him like a hot foot, you know?
It was the other one, too, that I thought was great was, this is my favorite one, there's almost an Acme Looney Tunes vibe to this one, where they were going to give him a diving suit, a very expensive diving suit that was custom for him.
And he would just find it on his doorstep.
And he just goes, oh, this is so great. The people love me. I'm getting my own custom. And then they lined the inside of the diving suit with poisons that would be absorbed through his skin. Then when he put it on, he would die.
Somehow he saw that as... Here's a gift from your old buddy, U.S.
But, yeah, intelligence was really shitty back then because everybody would just run their mouth all the time. So you got Soviet spies in Cuba reporting back to Castro about what the Americans are backing up the rebels for. So everybody's talking to everybody, man. It's kind of a fucking mess.
Intelligence now is probably better.
Yeah, now we have it all perfect. We don't fuck up anymore.
Yeah, never. You know, I think that they fucked up on that whole, what do you call that place? You know the one I'm talking about, where they fucked up.
Oh, we fuck up a lot.
Where that fucking retarded kid shot up that school.
Oh, goddamn, we're back on this.
No, not Parkland. I'm talking about, what's that fake fucking school shooting? Sandy Hook.
Oh, that one's, that one gets dicey. That's,
Boy, people get really upset, but they don't really. Nobody does. They want to be upset, but they're not. Nobody is. Oh, nobody cares.
Oh, God. We're going back down to below 100 downloads an episode now, aren't we? Oh, boy.
I mean, it was definitely a fucking... Oh, I mean, I think that there was another recent thing that I was just... Oh, you know, fucking Ruth Bader Ginsburg is dead. There's no fucking way she's alive. It just doesn't make any sense.
You know, this is a true one because I was She's in the military. And when we were in the military, we got told the original report was that the Benghazi thing was because of that the Truth About Islam video.
Yeah, they told you guys that.
Well, which was funny because then a bunch of the guys in my unit started making memes or whatever, and they're all running with that premise. Where so it just shows how easy it is for intelligence to. There's misinformation, and there's the other term was disinformation. So it's intentionally disingenuous.
And then my favorite kind is kiss information. Shock me.
Half the battle with that one, man. So now the CIA is trying to kill this guy. They're trying to hire the mob to do the hit for him. Now that comes back into play here in a second. But
wait a second. You know she's dead, right?
God damn it, Pat.
They reported it like February 4th. She was at some event. It was for her. It was a whole thing in it was like the notorious RBG. She shows up. Nobody gets any pictures. No one knows she's coming to this event that's named after her by her daughter-in-law.
You are proving yet again why you're one of my favorite people.
She shows up
to.
And in the back row is where she sits, in the very fucking back. That's not where you she'd be down front.
I'm going to be deep Googling this when I go home.
She is dead. There hasn't been a picture of her since December 21st.
I'd like to apologize to my cousin Megan, who may be listening. I love you, Megan.
Well, why? Is she 85 years old?
No.
What? Is she a big fan of Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Possibly.
She actually has fans now.
It is weird.
They make her out to be this like, oh, she does 100 push-ups every day and shit. It's like, no, she is dead. And she was frail, and now then she was sick, and now she's dead.
Would you dare call this propaganda that they're putting out about her?
Yes,
because now you're getting all this propaganda in Cuba that makes me laugh. Because not to segue back into it.
All right,
but because we're almost wrapping up here too, I try to keep into about an hour.
Is this how it usually goes?
You're one of the more eccentric personalities I've had. That's why I was excited to have you. But
this isn't going to be a Dombrowski, is it?
Hell no. Oh, man, that part's me. And you know what my favorite part is? He's not on. He didn't even listen to his own episode or try to listen to his own episode, so he'll never even hear this one either.
No, fuck Kevin Dombrowski. No, he was at Dangerfield last night. He had a great set.
I had a to talk about something we were mentioning earlier here, not to go completely off the rails,
because
we will get back into Castro for the guys who listen for the history aspect. So I said that Kevin put his album out recently. He was plugging the album on his episode.
Dombrowski.
And yeah, and I love Kevin. I have a lot of love for him. I went to his wedding. I think his wife's a great person. but here's a review of his album that I wrote. Kevin's album reminds you of a Judd Apatow movie. It starts off with some promise, but it's really about 45 minutes too long.
Yes. The album is 50 minutes long.
But he's a good guy, man. That being said, the CIA at this point has grown to power, and it's the reason why we allowed it to grow to power was to fight the spread of communism, like we were talking about earlier.
The CIA.
So, yeah, you got to counter the KGB with something cool here in America.
So right? By grow to power, you mean they started running things?
We stopped checking them. Checks and balances weren't really applied to the CIA back in this time frame.
How does that help?
It's weird because there's so many cool things that they pulled off that we either don't know fully about yet, or we just now found out thanks to that Freedom of Information Act.
Fake moon landing.
Well, how about the fact that we actually did pull off a Bay of Pigs-like invasion of Guatemala? One of the coolest things ever.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to get into that in a second here. But so now the head of the CIA at this time is that fella, Alan Dulles, who we were talking about, who was very popular because he stood up to McCarthyism so that government employees weren't really in fear of losing their jobs or getting blacklisted and shit.
Jesus fucking Christ. That's the guy who opened the door for communism to just pour into the federal government.
Pretty much.
he took out McCarthy. The one guy who gave a fuck. That's what the name of his movie about him should be. The one guy who gave a fuck.
It's also weird too, because they'll make a Debs movie before they'll make a movie about McCarthy. Eugene Debs, who was a socialist that ran for president from prison.
That's because communist Jews run Hollywood. And that's true.
Guys, this one's off the rails, and I love it, to be honest with you, because Pat's so fun to talk.
You cannot wait for this podcast to end.
No, dude. You know what it is that we're starting on the topic here. This is almost going like all of our rides to gigs, whenever you let me open for you. Mm. That I'll pick you up. We'll talk about
it. You mean whenever you get me a show?
Shut up,
and
dummy.
Drive me there?
No, but we'll always want to talk about this stuff, and you're just one of the most fun people to talk to here. And I'm very curious, because I know you have some stuff we haven't gotten to yet about knowledge about the actual Bay of Pigs invasion here. Mm. So I know we're still stuck in the minutiae, if you will, of unpacking this.
Oh, wait, no, this is before the... Oh, right, the All invasion does occur. Oh, yes, my sir. God, yeah, this is just laying the groundwork.
Now, this is cool here, because the CIA...
Time for the second half of the show.
The CIA had been planting and kind of feeling out public opinion. We were talking about propaganda earlier. They started leaking all this very anti-Castro propaganda into the country, start feeling people out to see what they can get everybody on board with. And the general feeling was, and by the way, one of these meetings took place in a brothel. Brothel in Cuba, not a bad place to have a meeting. Mm. All right. So they have this meeting. They decided that there's actually going to be enough people who are pro-Batista that have been exiled into the United States. They start training a guerrilla force over here. So they get about 1,500 guys, and they take them to a private island off the coast of Florida. And they immediately,
I still cannot hear that term without seeing a fucking bunch of gorillas with guns and stuff. A guerrilla force.
Guerrilla warfare.
Yeah, so anyway, they get them all set and everything, trained.
Well, they start training them over there on the island here.
Does the CIA train them?
The CIA greets them and trains them, and it's a complete... Now, here's the craziest part. This plan is... if you want to talk about using the military and the intelligence community for leverage in an election, which we've seen before, okay, especially most recently. But what winds up happening is this election, the time frame, this plan is coming underneath the final years of the presidency of Dwight Eisenhower. Mm. All right. And then what happens is that as Nixon, Eisenhower's vice president, is running against John F. Kennedy, okay, Nixon says, well, we really can't tell Kennedy what we're working on here because he's not the president yet, so this is a matter of national security. He can't know that we're talking about a possible invasion or supporting an invasion of Cubans in exile trying to take their country back.
Right.
So because they don't tell him that, Kennedy then capitalizes on this, and he goes, oh, and, you know, it's these poor people that in Cuba, they just want their country back, and we're not doing anything to support them. All right. So he winds up actually playing it against Nixon. And then Nixon has to school Kennedy on the violations of international law that would take place from a plan that Nixon actually supported himself. So Nixon had to argue against his own point because Kennedy called his bluff on something.
Wow.
So, and this is during the debates on TV.
Nixon is one of the smartest men ever to have the office of presidency. Maybe the smartest.
He, what a fucking fascinating guy, too.
Kennedy was smarter in the first half of his administration, I think.
Well, he was so much, like, very
kind of lost his head, his brains were not much use. He was extremely charismatic. He could really hold a crowd when he would, like, talk to people and, like, give these press conferences and shit. He would just, like, hold court. He was really cool.
Very cool.
And, all right. Calling on me. There you are. Mary. And she would say, Mr. President. There's, like, these videos that you can... I went down the rabbit hole a few years ago, and like, watching these things.
Oh, he's great, man, because I actually... I played him in a... We did a president's play in third grade. I had to go up and make a speech as John F. Kennedy.
Yep. Shit my pants. Pants. You know, the... yeah, so that's awesome, yeah.
I had a nice Cape Cod sweater up, and then my father was insisted on accuracy. So in third grade, I got up there and talked about how I was the hero of P.T. Butt 109, and I fucked Marilyn Monroe. My dad's just in the back like, got it, accuracy. It's about integrity on this show. I miss you, Dad.
Boom! That's great.
South Beach Larry, man, you're missing out on this
one. I wish I had a dad.
We're going to bring, next time I have you on the show, I want to have my old man be in there too. We can do it either at our studio or back over here, whatever, man. Just
anytime.
But, it's now we're getting to the plan itself here, which is fascinating. So we're at the 56-minute mark on this.
Oh, okay.
It's where the CIA...
It's because the fucking invasion does not take that long.
No, it does not. The invasion is shorter than this podcast.
Yeah.
But the initial plan is to create the government in exile, like we talked about. And they developed this paramilitary of the group. They're on that little island off the coast of Florida here. And what we decide we're going to do is we're going to take a couple of these B-26 bombers, mm-hmm. and we're going to paint them to look like they're in the Cuban Air Force.
Right? Yeah, make them look like MS-13s.
Yeah, it's pretty much, yes. So they go ahead and they get these guys involved. And now Kennedy wins the election. So this initial plan that was a very well-thought-out plan by Dulles and the intelligence community and backed up by the Joint Chiefs gets scrapped because Kennedy goes... I don't want it. It's going to look like an act of war. My first year of my presidency.
Yeah, it's not really my era thing.
Well, this is an exact quote the last quote on this one, it comes from Castro's brother about the Bay of Pigs, and it fucks your head up for a little bit when you hear it. But Kennedy decides that he wants to have a little bit more restraint that he's showing here on this. So Kennedy is not allowing us to have this massive land invasion, so instead what they wind up doing... is they're saying, well, we'll support the guerrillas, but we won't say it out loud. So he winds up landing this force of these guys over here. They drop paratroopers overnight. They have all the propaganda and everything. They wanted to do this thing because in 1954, under Eisenhower, they were able to very successfully, and Dulles from the CIA was involved with this one, we overthrew the leader in Guatemala. There's a Guatemalan revolution, and we put in a U.S. puppet over there. And Guatemala's been great ever since. I don't know if you know that.
Wow, that's a success story.
Oddly, it is.
Usually we do that. It does not work out.
No. There's a bunch of times where there's weird stuff where it works out in our interests at first, but then over time, things get more gracious.
They've been dining out on that Guatemala thing a long time.
Well, they used a sonic boom, actually, to explode a sonic boom over a couple major cities in Guatemala. And what they did is they shattered every fucking window. And then in the confusion, everybody's not sure what's going on. And then, oh, by the way, G.I. Joe is here and fucking we're taking over Guatemala.
Yeah, we can break all your windows at any time.
It's a good message. You know what I mean? People are going to be receptive to that.
I would say so. Fucking Windex prices will plummet.
You just tank the fucking Windex economy.
Yeah, thanks a lot, shitheads.
So... But now the former Cuban prime minister is a guy by the name of Jose Cardona, and he gets placed in charge of the Cuban Revolutionary Council.
And the Cuban cigar factory.
We found this one on another episode. Kind of fucked my head up. You know the cigar store Indian, that classic image?
Mm-hmm.
That's based off of Osceola. Osceola, that painting of him was done while he was in captivity in St. Augustine, Florida.
No way.
So you're looking at a guy on his pretty much on his deathbed. That's when the guy painted him.
Stop that painting.
That's it. The Cuban exiles began going through all this guerrilla training, like we were talking about, and they formed a brigade known as Brigade 2506.
Yeah, flows right off the tongue.
Yeah, they were the Platanos boys at first, but then it kind of just got a little out of control.
The Platanos boys, we love Platanos. Well, they look like bananas.
Yeah, they were there
the
for
Platanos, like the banana boys.
They were it was pretty much it was regular guerrilla style training, but mixed in with reggaeton. So the invasion
with
the
dub mix.
The invasion was aided by the paratroopers, like we talked about, B-26 bombers, several small-scale Navy vessels as well. And the Cuban government was backed by the USSR. They had anti-aircraft weapons, tanks, and then even a small air force. So our mission was, the bombers are going to take out the air force. The planes that we wind up blowing up with our B-26s, because make no mistake, by the way, four American lives were lost. In this, it wasn't just all the Cuban exiles.
Right.
Four Americans did lose their lives in this.
Which is why it was embarrassing and not a tragedy.
Oh, it is. God damn, that's a good point, too. I'm unsettled by that one.
It's true, though.
So it threw me through a loop on this one, because the planes that they wind up blowing up are planes that are just for decoration. Okay? So, yeah.
You blew up our decorative planes. Yeah.
They were planes that hadn't seen the air in years.
They were planning a plane-themed party.
I like to imagine, because you ever go to, you ever see like a mini golf course that has like an old tank on it or something? Right. Yeah, we blew up a mini golf course pretty much.
Oh, shit.
So
smart. And that was the only mission they flew?
Yep, because it was that one thing. Because this whole thing took place in about a matter of 96 hours.
Hmm.
So, and that start to finish, when we land the men on the beach, you've seen the movie JFK, right? Oliver Stone?
Mm-mm.
You've never seen that one?
I mean, it's. I don't want my mind fucked on that particular topic.
What you do is you... I knew what I knew about it going in. Then I watched the movie, and then I did the research, and then you can dispute Oliver Stone and a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But the greatest thing ever is one of the guys who is training the gorillas on the island for Bay of Pigs is Joe Pesci, and it's Joe Pesci with Martin Scorsese fake eyebrows.
Get on the beach, you motherfucker!
Yeah, it's... Did you say Utes? The Utes need to get into revolt? also Pesci's a gay guy in that movie, so you have to watch it. It's too good to watch, man.
I don't know. I don't think I can do it.
It's worth it. We'll figure it out one of these days.
Yeah, we will.
But so now the inevitable invasion is going to happen here. Che Guevara is so certain that it's going to happen that he actually wants to get rid of...
he starts printing shirts.
That's Che Guevara. Now, there's a hot topic.
I don't like those shirts. I see some... They're good in a way. You see somebody in one of those, you're like, I don't need to talk to that fucking guy.
I think that's how I feel about pro wrestling, is that I like pro wrestling. There's some stuff about it I like. There's a lot of stuff I don't like about it. But when I see someone wearing the shirt out in public, I know I don't want to talk to them.
Mm.
Kind of how I live my life. But... yeah, they go ahead, and we got Che Guevara is so certain now that this land invasion is coming that he actually appeals to Castro to say, hey, we need the people to have guns. Let's arm all the citizens. And then Castro's like, I don't know about all that.
Yeah, fucking mind, dude.
Yeah, getting a little wacky here. But the plans were leaked. Pretty much everybody seemed aware of the plot. The United States knew that they were supporting the rebels. The rebels knew that they were going in to invade. The Soviets knew that the rebels were coming in to invade. The Cubans knew that the Cuban nationals were coming for. I mean, it was just all fucked up.
Jesus.
Absolutely no secrecy whatsoever. And keep in mind, this is Kennedy who is scrapping a perfectly good plan for a smaller, quieter plan so that he can pretend like he's just, we're in negotiations with them.
It's a negotiation. The whole thing is all, just, now were the Soviets, you think, involved in getting that kind of stuff?
Oh, they knew everything. It is so commendable to our 14 listeners in the Russian Federation. Their intelligence is insane, dude. The way they're able to infiltrate and stuff like that, and the things that they were aware of, too.
There's one of them in the room right now.
It's very possible.
Hola, hola.
I figured out Pat Dixon was a Russian spy when I sneezed, and he goes, Nostrovia. Wait a minute. Wait, you said Tennessee. But now, regardless of everybody knowing all of our information, the small fleet sets sail on April 14th under the cover of darkness from Nicaragua to the Bay of Pigs, as we talked about. The tactics were changed up and the plans were altered to ensure Kennedy's desire to disavow any and all involvement from the invasion, limiting their effectiveness. You know, that happens a lot, too, where it's the military guys come in and say, hey, here's what we want to do. And you say, well, what if we do it this way? And he's like, nah, can you just let the fucking military guys do what they got to do?
Jesus.
They were so certain, by the way, and this is leading back towards that quote here before we get into the invasion itself. They were so certain that Kennedy, once the forces landed on the beach, would be ashamed of the idea of it not working, that every countermeasure, that the full force of the United States military was going to be behind these guys when they landed. The rebels believed it, too. And when I say the rebels, I'm talking about our boys, the Cuban exiles, going back to try to take their country home.
Yeah.
The boys of Brigade 2506.
It's hard to remember if you're on the rebel side or not.
Yeah, it's well, it's also weird, too, where it's we get called the Yankees a lot. So we get called the Yankees in the Civil War, and then Castro is berating us, saying he doesn't want the Yankees. So no Yankees.
We're not the Yankees. We're the rebels, motherfucker.
Yeah, everybody thinks they're the rebel. It's always great that way. Yeah. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. But now they've landed.
Who is that guy, though?
Which one?
The one you just described.
That's the thing, is that these guys
one
are...
man is a terrorist, and one man is a...
Well, if you ask Castro, the boys...
Freedom fighter.
Brigade 2506.
But who is that?
Well, it depends on who you're talking. Yeah. Oh, it's a... Oh, I'm actually trying to spin this. I'm sorry.
You just thought I was real dumb.
No, I... So
Castro is in charge of the country still, right?
Yeah, I actually thought the opposite. Isn't his... Pat's being so deep right now.
Who is that guy, though? But his brother is in charge now. There's still a Castro there, right?
Well, yes, there is still a Castro in charge of Cuba at this time, in the modern sense here in
2019. Back in... But in 1961... The first Castro.
Yeah, now Fidel is also in charge of majority of the military here. The other part is headed up by his brother Raul, and then the other part is held up by our boy Che Guevara, Mr. fucking Skate Shop himself.
He was a tough guy, though.
Che? Yeah. He's very complicated legacy. Because even when he dies, you almost admire how he dies, but then you have to remind yourself, like, for every good idea he has about four really evil ones. So it's like if you try to spin the thing with Hitler, where you're just like, well, you know... he was very efficient.
He was. He loved dogs.
Oh, the old Mussolini trains ran on time thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they do with all that shit.
They eliminated smoking too. They were against that. Big on vegetables.
It's That was now all of this done by a guy on meth. Isn't that interesting? Right?
Yeah.
Is meth really that bad? Makes you wonder.
I mean, get some shit done, right? Just clean up the whole world. Like a large scale kind of like people scrubbing their bathrooms and shit.
Yeah, the point is, meth's not bad, but you need your 8 hours.
Maybe that's it. And you don't need to be surrounded by a country that'll do anything you say.
No, that's terrifying too.
If
that's
you're on meth.
All the cult leaders, yeah. Now, like we were saying here, these planes that we're going and sending over, we've painted them to look like they're part of the Cuban Air Force. Problem is, in the 2011 papers that came out, one of the planes was taken down by friendly fire because they didn't get the briefing that, hey, you shouldn't go outside of this one restricted zone here. So the Cubans just think that it's the Cuban Air Force going over there, and then the U.S. is shooting down its own planes because they're disguised as the Cuban military.
Jesus Christ.
A lot of bad communication on this one. Kennedy will deny his involvement, but the U.N. makes this whole thing aware. They start talking about this possible act of war, violation of international law, just like our boy Nixon talked about. So the same lecture that Nixon gave Kennedy now, Kennedy goes, oh, well, I'm going to do this quietly under the table, and it blows up in his fucking face.
Fucking Kennedy is a dumb fuck. I'm telling you, he didn't do anything good.
It's weird because personality-wise, he's beloved.
He was great. He's like a real great personality.
And then Nixon's
got a lot of pussy.
Evil. Yeah, Nixon's considered evil by personality. And then you look at some of the stuff, and you're like, wow, he really... is he the reason we have affirmative action? That's great. Oh, well, he did a lot for urban development.
I'm not so much for affirmative action, but I guess at the time... I could see it.
Well,
he did a good thing.
You wouldn't put it on Nixon was my point.
If he was still here, he'd be like, you still have affirmative action. What are you doing? Are you out of your fucking mind?
Could you imagine marrying his daughter and getting married at the White House and this is the greatest. This is the pinnacle of success.
I would love Richard Nixon. I would love Richard Nixon. I would have loved that guy. I would love to meet him.
Oh, it's got to be an interesting dinner.
Extremely personable guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he would ask questions, very curious, very interested. I mean, like, he's one of our greatest presidents. People they don't know anything about him.
Well,
I know very little.
He
met Elvis.
Yes.
I guess send him in.
Shared a car ride with Hunter S. Thompson, and the two of them discussed their love of football. So how
he
cool
could get
that?
Along with anybody.
You realize that Joe Namath has this, like, all right, this is kind of a cool thing. So you were hanging out with our friend Kevin Dabrowski the other day, and in my head, I'll just pretend for the stroke my own ego that maybe my name came up, you know? And I'm sitting there, I'm realizing two guys I look up to, right? Two comics I enjoy their work, are talking about me. That's a cool feeling, right? I'm not in the room, but I'm being mentioned in the room. So that buzzing of the ears thing. Imagine you're fucking Joe Namath and Hunter S. Thompson and the President of the United States are talking about you and how great you are.
Wow.
That's a cool fucking room to be in vicariously.
I'd say they're both right, too.
Yeah.
Because Joe Namath was great right around then.
Oh, it was, I forget what year it was that the...
like 67 or something?
Cause, yeah, whenever
68,
he beat...
68, 69, the Colts?
Yeah.
Beat Super Bowl III? I think it was 68 or 9, maybe? 69, I think.
Oh, that's going to kill me. People are going to get beat up in the comments on that one.
Uh-oh.
That'll be the first thing they object to.
Do you have a lot of that?
I get a lot of corrections, which is good. I flub dates all the time. We did the Chicago Black Sox episode.
It was like in the 1500s.
Well, it was Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
And how they threw the World Series, and I used 3 different years to describe the team that did it.
That's so funny.
I got to get my shit together.
Yeah. Did you just misread it? Maybe you weren't into it that day.
Well, no, again, it's my dyslexia with numbers.
What year was it?
It was 1917. So, technically, 1917, they won the World Series, and 1919 is the year they threw it, and then 1920 is the year that they were banned from baseball for what they did.
Yeah, gee, say it ain't so, Joe.
Yep. Oh, we covered that one, too. A whole myth on that one. Bad reporting.
Oh, was it what he said?
It was not real. That whole thing doesn't exist.
He's like, you blow, Joe.
Yeah, the other part was that they signed a, I talked about in the previous episode, that they signed a testimony, or whatever, that Shoeless Joe Jackson signed a bunch of stuff, but Shoeless Joe was illiterate, so he has no idea what the fuck he signed. So, yeah. It's a good
so maybe to... they didn't cheat.
He didn't. They always maintain that he
didn't. Oh, wow.
He should not be. Yeah. It's, if I was to go.
Hey, I'm glad it ain't so, Joe.
Well, due to the scattered bombers over here and the inconsistent landings.
The scattered bombers are playing at the Mercury Lounge.
It's a blues band. Yeah, so the bombers aren't being effective. And the paratroopers that are landing are not landing in coordination with the invasion as it's planned. Okay? So now the land force is actually going to land over here. They go ahead. These poor bastards get stuck on a beach. And pretty much they believe. You talk
just like, take off their shirts and lay down.
Essentially, if you listen to the interviews from some of these guys, they are... people consider it an outright betrayal of the Cuban people. That what we did to these poor bastards by telling them we're going to back them up completely. But Kennedy wouldn't do it.
It's a good way to deport a bunch of Cubans, though.
Oh, man. Hey, do you guys want to take your country back? You got to do, hey, just get over here. You good? You good? All right, no, we got your back. Don't worry about it.
We're coming with air support and everything.
Yeah, no, what time? All right, we'll see you in like 20, 30 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. No, just stay right where you are. Where are you now? Shit.
Oh, geez. Hey, I gotta go. I have a thing.
I thought I was gonna be able to make it. What are you doing tomorrow? when you described that invasion with everything being out of sync and everything, why was I hearing the Blue Danube, you know?
It's bad too, man, because now these guys are prepared in Cuba, that Che Guevara, Raul, and Fidel Castro are all prepared to experience an invasion by the greatest superpower in the world, the United States, and we're just fucking up. You know what I mean? It's like we sent just an army of Gomer Piles over there. You know, or let him plan it, I should say.
Golly!
So these poor bastards, they get left out on the beach, man. They wind up surrendering within 24 hours of the landing.
What else would they do? And then they get publicly questioned and thrown in prison.
They maintain, if you talk to a lot of the veterans of this, because a lot of them went on to serve in the United States military, too. There's a very proud Cuban tradition with that.
A lot of those guys?
Yeah, because
they made it back.
We wind up exchanging for them later.
Really?
Yeah, it costs us a pretty penny, but we get 1,100 of them back. There's about 1,200 to go over.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's a lot.
We get 1,100 of them back. Costs us $53 million.
Okay, that's a bad deal. That's a heavy price.
We would only exchange, though, in food and medicine.
Oh, right. So you could mark that shit up. $25 Band-Aids.
It was a humanitarian effort. So we're a prisoner exchange and a humanitarian effort. So that's why Kennedy was great, man, because the exact quote that... this one fucks with me here, is it's that we'll finally hit that Raul Castro quote. He later told a Mexican newspaper, if Kennedy wanted Cuba, he could have had Cuba. They were not prepared to withstand it. He goes, but what we couldn't plan on and that we took full advantage of was that Kennedy vacillated. That was the term. So because Kennedy didn't come in there with an iron fist, he didn't have the TR to him like we talked about at the start of the episode where Teddy Roosevelt was like, what fight? I'm in it right now. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Because Kennedy was like, oh, well, what if we start a small fight and you know, and then if you need anything, you call us. Because he did that, we completely betrayed all these guys. A lot of them died on the beach. I had the numbers on this one, too. It was
Kennedy's not a military. I mean, he was in the military, but I think he fucked up on PT-109.
Yeah, if you really look at it, it's the hero of PT-109. It's like it's also probably the villain of PT-109.
Yeah. But
it's not good. He's in a wild guy.
By the way, the worst Boston Kennedy accent ever. I just can't stop doing it.
It's funny. I tried one on an episode one time, and I heard it back, and I just said, what the fuck was I thinking? But yeah. In the three-plus days of the failed invasion, 118 men of 2506 were killed. 360 were wounded, a lot of them in the landing, because we lost one of our vessels on the way over there, which had... they also sent over the provisional government. That's how confident they were in this invasion. Jesus. They sent the new provisional government over with the guys.
You just go right on up to the government building there. Well, yep. By the time you get there, it'll be yours.
Imagine, like, that's the thing. It's imagine the Patriots showing up to the Super Bowl with the Lombardi Trophy. You know, that's kind of the arrogance that's in display. Wow. But in that 3+ days, we lost all those guys. They actually, these guys wind up getting captured now. So you have one mission. We're going to overthrow Castro. And now you're Castro's prisoner. So not really good over here. Castro... Oof. Oddly, somewhat okay to the prisoners. A lot of them said that it was bad conditions and stuff like that. There were executions for the higher-ups. Mm-hmm. But you know what Havana decided to report back to all the people was they traced out all the people. They quote, doxed them, if you will. All right? And what they did is they found out about their...
He's got a phone book.
Their combined wealth, yeah. So these were people who either owned apartment buildings or... And then they talk about this thing. They talk about unearned income. So it's a bit your family money. That all the you guys notice this, that these filthy capitalist pigs are trying to come back here and ruin our beautiful socialist utopia that we have.
Mm-hmm. So give me your money.
Yeah. So essentially, it's the 1%. That's what they tried to paint it as, that the 1% was coming over to try to take the country back by force.
Oh, I
see. And we're the only thing that stand in the way from our beautiful country here, where everything's equal and we have a quality.
So they really brought it.
Yeah. But it fucked up on that one, man, and it's a completely considered a decisive Cuban victory. The United States lost 4 American lives, 2 B-26 bombers, one of them shot down by our own men, and 2 supply ships. So not a good day for the old boys in blue.
Well, it's all Kennedy's fault. He really fucked up. And then this just leads up to the Cuban Missile Crisis, which it's amazing that didn't start a full-scale war.
My theory on that one is that this is a decisive loss for the United States against Cuba, and then we celebrate 13 days, the Cuban Missile Crisis, like it's this massive victory for the world. Really, what we did, if you're a hockey fan, we played neutral zone trap defense.
Yeah.
Nobody's allowed to do anything. Oh, you check here? Oh, and we're going to keep it in here? Nope, and off to the next guy. And that's all. Now, get this. This fucked my head up a little bit, too. The reason why Cuba became obsessed with nuclear power was because they're like, well, Kennedy fucked up. He's not going to fuck up next time, all right? We need to go ahead. We need to sign a free agent. Let's bring somebody back here. We can try to win the series again next year. Mm. And they were curious about getting Russia's always been cool to us. They're not fucking with us. Hey, they want to send us a missile, and they say we can use it to defend ourselves against the U.S. next time they try to invade.
In fact, we could put all kinds of missiles there. Why not? He's sort of a base.
We poured gasoline on that fire. So that kinder, gentler hand thing just made everything worse. If they had gone over there, we would just be treated. This is kind of a crazy thing to think about, but imagine if Kennedy had used the full force of the army, or the armed force, I should say, and we just treated Cuba like Puerto Rico now. There's a lot of people's lives that would have been saved if we had just gone. If you get bloody on one day in order to ease the bloodshed over the years. I'm making an argument here, and there's a lot of people that are going to tell me. I mean, Jill Stein's going to have a problem with everything I'm saying. But
is she a listener?
I think so.
Green Party?
She might be my one listener from Connecticut.
Well, I just don't think that there's any argument for that. What are you going to do? Like, some half-ass war thing is not going to work. Look, you have to win. That's the whole idea. It's not just go over there and fire. or whatever. You know what I mean? Just like, oh, we did a little invasion thing. I think he was just an egomaniac, and he didn't want to do it because it was Eisenhower's idea.
There was part of that, too.
That's the older way of doing things.
Well, the press started getting this newfound... they were always strong, the press. But now you had television to combat with. You also had rising tensions over in Vietnam. So you want to sit there and you want to talk about the... Because we're also fresh off Korea and everything. Mm-hmm. It's not a great time in American history. Like, we don't have a decisive American victory again until the 80s under Reagan. Which it gets...
Falkland Islands?
Yeah, that's considered a decisive one, so...
Pretty fucking decisive, too.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. What was it?
Never heard of it until that was happening.
What was the other one, too? I always fuck this up. There's that hilarious line in that anger management movie that John Turturro was a veteran of... what the hell was it?
Nicaragua?
Yeah, I want to say because it was against...
the Sandinistas and shit?
Yeah. Oh, man. But beautiful stuff with that. So we're real nervous about how he's going to look. And now Alan Dulles blames Kennedy's restraint for the failure of the invasion here.
Well, you're with Dulles.
Yep. Well, Dulles is, he winds up being forced to step down as CIA director.
For saying that?
Uh-huh. And they blame him because Kennedy blames the CIA. Now, this is where, we talked about conspiracy theories earlier. We're going to end on a conspiracy theory because I think you're going to fucking love this. Alan Dulles blames all of that. He actually gets a note that gets sent to Kennedy from Che Guevara at a UN meeting that says, thanks for the Bay of Pigs, man. The revolution was weak when you arrived, but it's become stronger now since you left. So pretty much, yeah, they're like, it's like how, it's pretty much bandwagon fans. That's essentially what it was. Everybody's like, yeah, sure, oh, yeah, the Giants are great. Oh, the Giants are in the Super Bowl?
What's going on? Mm-hmm. 8-1?
Nothing was worse than that for my friends down in Jacksonville. Nothing was worse than when the Jaguars were winning games. Because they showed that they're not used to winning, so they don't know how to handle it. All right, wasn't a good look for them.
What happened?
Well, they got really, really arrogant, and then it all fell apart for them.
The fans, you mean?
Oh yeah, the Jacksonville
arrogant.
Oh, they got very arrogant. They were throwing
in the airport and shit.
Yeah, they'd throw bottles of water at the Seahawks players, and then there was a big Duval chant.
Now I remember that. Yeah.
And then they they lose. They don't win the Super Bowl, and then the next year they completely disintegrate.
Fucking
and they're back
turkeys.
Sucking again.
Yeah.
But so he goes.
They had that kind of like a big dumb white quarterback.
Well, they had Blake Bortles, yeah. Which Bortles is he's not going to be there on the team this year. There's no way. But
you follow Jacksonville, huh?
Well, I was stationed there in the Navy for 6 years,
and that's your team.
No, diehard Giants fan.
Ah,
diehard. But if
I've been a Jets fan my whole life, I'm switching to fucking New England. Fuck this shit. No, we're going to do well this year. We're going to do well. Jets. You're always going to root for. Whoever you kind of naturally root for.
Oh yeah, well I like Darnold. So did you know that Sam Darnold's grandfather is the Marlboro Man?
Fuck, really?
That's how you know you got a stud.
Had no idea.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Darnold, I like Darnold. Yeah,
he's great, man.
He's the first like true winner that they've had in that position
since Bennington. Bennington was a winner. He had bird bones.
I'm gonna say since Testaverde. I don't think Pennington was much of a winner.
That is what it is. They're going to get Jets fans yelling.
A bit of a rag arm, you know what I mean?
I'll tell you, let me wrap up. We're on the last page of this one. Here.
No.
I apologize, brother. No, I love you.
There's a monster at the end of the book.
Kennedy does have a thing done known as the Taylor Survey, okay? And it's a survey they do. It's a whole board of inquiry is brought up. And what they do is they start looking in for reasons why Bay of Pigs failed, because Kennedy is embarrassed endlessly by this. He fucked up. It's completely his fault. You were right.
Mm-hmm.
So what winds up happening is that they realize it's because of the bad planning, a complete failure in being covert in any of their operations whatsoever. It's working on a top secret thing. Oh, yeah, I heard about that on the news. Raul Castro gave that whole quote about the vacillation and how they were able to capitalize on that. So this is public. That's pretty much...
It would be great if the Taylor Commission or whatever was
right.
It? Yeah, the Taylor Commission was like... it turns out it's you.
That's not what came back either, too.
Really?
Yeah, and Kennedy had to, because it pissed him off the rest of his life. Now, like I said, we are going to...
The rest of his short-ass life. It pissed him off for 7 months.
Do you want to talk about... so we were talking about conspiracy theories.
That's karma.
Now, this forces massive resignations. JFK is now... all of his generals... now fall under his heavy scrutiny. So he starts to lose the favor of the Joint Chiefs. He fucking hates the CIA. He's got massive problems with the CIA. He thinks they just made him look bad. And you just took, all right, because he negotiated back for 1,100 of the guys to come back over here. So, now the regime that they were sent to depose is still in power here. And then they come back to the United States. You just brought back 1,100 highly trained guerrillas that are pissed off as hell, and you betrayed them. All right? That's one of those guys is a Mel Gibson movie. Okay? Now you brought back 1,100 Mel Gibson movies.
And there's your Kennedy assassin.
And they're a little pissed off, too. And also, by the way, the Mafia thought they were going to get something out of this, too. Because they were going to be involved in the overthrowing or the assassination of Castro.
The Mafia did it.
So you got the Mafia mad at you. You got the CIA mad at you.
Lyndon Johnson.
Yep. You got you pissed off all of these Cuban exiles. So you
every mom and dad when you started the Peace Corps.
Mm-hmm. It's
every American.
That's fucking great. I wasn't ready for that.
A lot of people.
He's pissed off pretty much everybody here. Now all that they've done, we poured gas on the fire, like we said. We freed Castro. We've embarrassed the United States.
Ton of suspects on who's,
we've incentivized,
who didn't want him dead.
Yeah, we've incentivized Cuba now to listen to Russia more. And then they're going to start, the whole 13 days thing happens, where Kennedy's portrayed as a hero, by the way. But it's because he fucked up Bay of Pigs so bad. So it gets completely fucking wild here. But
yeah, gave him an opportunity.
Off,
that's the one thing he did right.
If you piss off all these people, though, Pat, eventually... something's going to happen to
I
you.
I think those Bay of Pigs motherfuckers, combined with the CIA, the Mafia. People say that like a conspiracy can't stay a secret. Goddamn, it sure can. Anybody finds out, you kill them.
And there's more and more information coming out about that every day. But Bay of Pigs is highly involved, as is the CIA, with everything that went down with the Kennedy assassination. So we got really weird into conspiracies on this.
You know
one,
what's
man?
Weird? It's like maybe like if everybody thought that they were the ones that it was ultimately responsible, right? Like it's a Mafia mission, it's a Bay of Pigs, mission. You guys, you exiles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like actually Lyndon Johnson, you're sort of like the man behind this. You know, they would all keep their mouths shut, you know, because they would think like it was all they would all think it was their plan,
right? Or
does that that doesn't make any sense at all? Probably
no. But that's the thing. You have so many because the government the larger scale something gets, the more we're able to fuck it up.
And the guy who shot him was a communist. I mean, allegedly, even.
Yes, and then also he claimed to be a CIA patsy, Lee Harvey Oswald. And there was a lot of things he was reading about. There was.
So that's why he got killed by Jack Ruby.
Little tiny thing here.
Because he's like, I'm a patsy.
Do you know who, when Castro rounded up all of the, when the invasion was first starting, he rounded up all of the people who are parts of the resistance, if you will. And he located.
Wouldn't that be great if that happened in America today?
It's a essentially that's what I was laughing about when I was writing this, because the irony of where they take all of these people who are resisting Castro's will, they need to bring them all in one tiny place where they can kind of it has to be able to seat everybody, right? But you need to have them all under control.
A helicopter.
They bring them to the Karl Marx Theater.
Well, the Marx Brothers show.
Karl Marx. That's fucking. Just the irony of that one, that a German philosopher is going to have a theater named after him when all he's talking about is the evils of personal possession,
like,
and stuff.
A theater? This is not what I envisioned.
Yeah, but everyone who was there got to watch Godfather 2 while they were being held captive.
Now did they just mow them down?
It's Castro's one of those tricky guys where you can't tell just how many people he actually killed, because there was a lot of the Gestapo-type tactics and everything. But if you talk to Cuban Americans, I mean, they were some of the people that were most opposed to when we decided to lift the sanctions on them and Obama was going to allow us to do it.
Yeah, they're fucking terrified.
Because they're saying, like, oh, so you're telling me that the guy who just killed my grandmother is now all of a sudden I can go visit her grave. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I was kind of happy not being able to do that, to be honest with you. I'm not looking forward to the trip. And thanks for nothing, Noonan.
And that being said, Pat and I will be playing the Havana Comedy Club on February 15th and 16th.
Yes.
Looking forward to being a part of that one.
And then on Sunday, we're back to Panama City.
There is actually a memorial in Little Havana in Miami to the people who lost their lives during the Bay of Pigs invasion. And one of the coolest quotes I thought was, it was one of the guys who landed on the beach. And he goes, betrayal. That's the word. It was betrayal. And we could have won that fight. So he's still angry about it to this day, man.
Yeah, he's like fucking, who's the fucking coach of the Patriots? I can't think of his name.
Bill Belichick.
Belichick walking off the field. disappointed.
Well, I also liked it, too, because it's clearly the guy lost, but he has his dignity. So there's a Jake LaMotta. You never knocked me down, Sugar Ray.
You never got me down.
But, dude, I just want to say thank you for letting us do this, man. You bailed me out. I didn't want to go down to the studio here on this one on short notice, and I've been trying to get you on the show forever, so I appreciate you doing it.
Anytime, dude.
Nah, you're fun to talk to. You know that,
man. It's a great show, and I hope you, continue to come up with great second place motherfuckers. Pardon my language.
No, we're going to have you on for a couple more, man, because this is a good time. Pat, I do have listeners. It's not as many as Crime Report, but...
I'm sure it's quite a few.
If they're not familiar with you already, where can they check you out?
We're free on Compound Media on Mondays now. So if you want to watch a great web stream show for free that until very recently wasn't free, it's Crime Report, and we talk about crime. It's like a desk show. It keeps moving.
I've pissed myself a few times, even just as an audience member.
And you've been here doing the show many times, too.
That's a good time.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock, compoundmedia.com. 8 o'clock, compoundmedia.com. That's every Monday, not just this coming Monday. But assume that it's Tuesday right now. Just remember in 6 days.
This will come out on Tuesday.
There's really not a very good chance of them remembering this for 6 days. Can I come back? But there'll be another Tuesday. Just watch it on Mondays. And, of course, listen to... New York City Crime Report, which is like the very similarly named, but it's the mother show. Started in 2011. It's the New York Post with jokes. And the very next episode, if you get it right now, you'll hear KB Burke.
And I'm going to plug that one on my social media for anybody else who wants to check it. It's a great podcast, man. I've enjoyed it for years.
Hey.
And then you're a fun follow on Twitter, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't really do that much, but it's at Pat Dixon, P-A-T-D-I-N.
He says he doesn't do much. It's fun. It's a good follow here, guys. But if you're enjoying the show, guys, we do operate at a deficit on this one. So I'm not asking for your money. All I'm asking for you to do is go ahead and leave me a review on iTunes, something like that. We have a good time doing this. South Beach Larry will be back March 1st. So we're doing the last of the pre-records here. That's why, again, I got to thank my buddy Pat Dixon for coming in. All the guests we've had. Check us out at KP Burke Sucks on Instagram and Twitter, KP Burke on Facebook. My website is kpburkcomic.com. I do have some dates coming up here with the aforementioned Pat Dixon. Very excited to spend the Valentine's Day weekend with you, lover boy. Guys, thank you for listening to the show here, and go ahead and support it if you can. I really appreciate your time. That was Bay of Pigs, American Loser. Thank you.